said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the sea, the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. See, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It's beautiful just to hear that, isn't it? It's fantastic. I'm afraid people miss it because of familiarity with it, but it's just such beautiful language and so full of truth. Let's take the first verse. There's so much here, you can spend the rest of your life plumbing its depths. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now look, in this first verse, it just tells you everything that there is. Ever think about it? There's nothing in existence outside of this first verse. What really is it? What really is reality? In the beginning, well, there's time. God created the heavens. That's space. And the earth. That's matter. That's all there really is. Those are our boundaries, you know. You live in a certain time because God put you in that time. You might say, no, I want to live in the days of Little House on the Prairie. Well, he put you now. Okay. By the way, I've shared that sentiment. He put us here. That's what Paul said to the Athenians. God set the boundaries and the times and that you live. And he puts these boundaries around us. And these are boundaries. Time is a boundary. Space is a boundary. You know? You've got to be somewhere. Where are you? You're right there. You can only be one place at a time. And matter's a boundary. Okay, he put us in a body. He gave us a material world. But there's something else I want to point out about this verse that I think is really, really important. Very simple, but important. And that is this. that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is not part of his creation. God is separate from his creation. This is very important because all idolatry has this element in it. That, as Paul said in Romans, they slip away from worshiping God to worshiping the creation. Something less than God. Something God created. Now, there's pantheism, the idea that God is everywhere. And there's something called panentheism, the idea that God is in everything. This is Eastern religion. This is the difference between the truth and every false religion. The number one difference is that God is separate from his creation. And to worship any likeness, anything less than the invisible God, to worship and adore anything less than God himself, is a deep and gross sin against God. In the beginning, God, he created the heavens and the earth. They're not part of him. They are separate. And the word for that, which you will see all through the rest of the Bible, is a very important word. And I would to God that we'd be so aware of it and ask God to give us light on it. That word is holy. That's the meaning of holy. God is separate. God is above. God is not part of creation. God is not in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is separate from his creation. And everything that exists came into being by his power and by his will. He is the sovereign of all of creation. In other words, he is the one that made it. He is the one that determines its use. He is the one that brought it into his being. And by the way, moment by moment and day by day, he is the one that sustains it. This creation is not going anywhere until he's done with it. Now, one day he will. The heavens will wax old like a garment. He'll roll it up. He'll burn it with fire. He'll make a brand new heaven and earth. But in the meantime, this is the heavens and the earth that we live in. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, before I even go in one step further, look, this verse is so important. Paul tells us that all sin, the whole fall of every individual, everyone in this room, to the extent that you've fallen or ever fallen or are falling or will fall, all comes down to this. Look at Romans chapter 1. What is the essence of all sin? And Paul explains, Romans 1, it's the problem with the human race. Romans 1 says in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, the problem God has with mankind, and he has a problem with mankind. God is angry at the human race. There is an issue, a specific issue he gets into here. And part of the problem, according to Paul, is that they know something about him. They know something about God, but they will not acknowledge it. Now, why would you want to will God out of existence? Well, so you can do your own thing. See, the moment you confess, I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Anyone ever made that confession before? Used to do it every day of my life. I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Once you confess that, you're saying, that includes me, and God, because he made me, he owns me. And I owe him my life. And I owe my Creator the duty of worship just by virtue of the fact he made me. Now, look what he says. He says in verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because when they knew God, verse 21, they would not glorify him as God, That's the essence of all sin. The refusal to acknowledge God as creator is the beginning that leads to everything else. They would not acknowledge Him. They would not glorify Him as God, even though they knew that He made them. And every other consequence comes because of that. Now that, you name the sin, there are so many different kinds of sin and forms of sin. But you go down to the core, because underneath every sinful act is a sinful principle, a religious question, a religious principle called into question by sinners and defiant men. Or Satan would tempt you to call into question the religious principle. And underneath every one of them is the glory of God, is the refusal to give God the glory. And here's the thing that people do. And this age is just as idolatrous as any other. What they do instead of giving God the glory is they give glory constantly to that which is less than God. This is a deep and profound sin. Now, I've taken you before to Revelation 4. He tells us the future. He goes into the throne room. He shows us where it's all headed. And in Revelation 4, you see everything in creation, in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every being, all of creation, what are they doing? They're singing a song that we sing all the time. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, for Thou hast created everything. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. So one day, all of creation is going to be brought back around, and they will glorify Him for their creation. Now, but there is another thing I want to show you in Revelation 14. Creation is so important. That's why the big issue that we have in our society, one of the biggest issues of all, if you ask me, is the creation controversy. You want to know where America went bad? You want to know how the West was lost? You want to know why England's perverted, France is perverted, Russia's perverted? Every Western country that used to be Christian is absolutely rotted to the core. And you could actually pinpoint at some point in the middle of the 19th century when they eagerly bought up Charles Darwin's book, which gave them an excuse, a scientific excuse, to reject the Creator. That was the turning point of everything. Okay, now I could spend the rest of my whole career just talking about that, but I won't. I'm not supposed to. Revelation 14, though, look at what happens when the gospel comes in its final form. By the time you get here in Revelation, I mean, this world is already shuddering under the judgments of God. And you know what people are doing when God's judgments come? They shake their fist. He says they won't give up their... And He gives you the end time sins. They won't give up on their fornication. No way. They won't give up on their pharmakia. Sorcery. You know what sorcery is? The use of mind-altering drugs to escape reality. They won't give that up. No way. They won't give up their idols of gold and silver. They have shaken their fist at God. It gets so bad, even then, in His mercy. For as one of the prophets said, even in judgment, have mercy. He sends angels out to preach the gospel. But this is the gospel in its final form. Now, at this point, we're trying to preach the full gospel. Jesus died. You're a sinner. Come to God while there's time. You can be saved. But look how bad it gets at the end. Verse 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You know, He strips it down very, very heavily. How far down? It's just fear of God, worship your Creator, all that that implies, because His judgment's here. Go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heavens, that space, and the earth. He says, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. See, that's matter. That is matter. Every physical thing is matter. And in the original form of matter, it was formless. It was a watery void. Okay. Because basically, and I think this is an important thing to point out too, that when God created everything, it didn't come out orderly. Immediately after creation, we see what he did in Genesis 1. He began the work of separation. Remember? He brings land out of the water. He separates land and water. And he separates day and night, light and darkness. Waters above, waters below. And he separates. The separation just keeps going on, okay? God creates and then he separates everything. He makes everything definite. He gives everything a role. He gives everything that he created a specified purpose. This will go into Genesis 2. Man and woman. That's a separation. God made man, God made woman. We'll get into how God made man and woman in more detail in Genesis 2. But it's a constant separation. Okay. Now, the reason I bring that out is, okay, now we live in the anti-creation world where they deny the Creator and the creation. And consequently, what they do, and this is a spiritual thing, I don't think they're doing this purposely, but what they do, and you see it with your eyes, it's almost baffling, is they want to unseparate everything. Really, man and woman? How about 57 different genders? They want to blur all the distinctions, as John Lennon's saying, they want the world to be as one. They want to bring everything. Okay, if you think of how far that unseparation goes, if you believe in the Creator, you believe in good and evil. But if you are in the anti-creation, the unseparation, the blurring of all distinctions, it's actually very difficult for people these days to believe that anything's evil or to believe that anything's good. Every single thing that God separated, there's light, there's darkness, there's life, there's death, there's man, there's woman, there's earth, there's sea. Immediately after the creation comes the work of separation. And now we live in the end where people deny the Creator, have rebelled against Him, and are busily using everything at their disposal, technology, everything, to reverse the separation. I mean, I just saw an article that almost made me cry, and not much surprises me anymore, but this was so shocking, that a boy had a baby with another man by technological means. Look, the judgment is coming, and one of the reasons the judgment is coming is because the defiance against God is so profound that it's not sustainable anymore. We can't go on like this. You know what I'm saying? You can't have this kind of thing for century after century and generation after generation. We're at the terminal point. And it all has to do with creation. Someone can be so messed up, like my dear friend that I told you about last week, so confused by the culture. What's the way back? Well, if the way there is to eliminate the Creator. And that's the road to the insanity, by the way. The way back to sanity is just to go back to square one and acknowledge the Creator. Dear God, You made me. One beautiful thing, which I have to say at a sad moment like this, that if God marked iniquities, no one could stand. But with Him, there's forgiveness, that He might be filled. Amen. Now, everything He does, one of the separations is day and night. Well, we say day and night. What's He say? Night and day. Did you know that night comes first and day? Not day and night. It's night and day. The Jews live that way. It's night and day. Sabbath starts on Friday evening. And it ends on Saturday evening. Night comes first. And then day. And one of the things that I believe about the book of Genesis is that not only is it a book about the beginning, but it's a book about the end. Think about it. Night comes first. Then the breaking of the day. Weeping may endure for the night. But how many know joy is coming in the morning? And day is about ready to dawn. Praise the Lord. But before the breaking of the day comes the dark and black night. In the twilight, the book of Proverbs says, in the evening, in the dark and black night, the culture takes them away, seduces them, leads them away from the covenant of God, from the concept of God, and particularly from the concept of the Creator. Now, a couple other things I want to point out, okay? See, he says, God said, let there be light. Verse 3. God said, let there be light. These are the first recorded words of God. It was the first thing God said. Light be! And man, boom. And light doesn't do anything else but be ever since he said it. It won't retract. It can't retract. God said, let there be light. Now, what's light do? Light brings everything out into the open. I prefer light to darkness. I want everything out in the open. You know, but you see these stories in the Bible. See, because you can't separate the Bible. I can't read Genesis without thinking about Revelation or Isaiah or everywhere. Ezekiel, Mark, Matthew, Luke. Isaiah walks into the temple one day and he saw God. He says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. And not only did he see God, he saw himself. He says, then I said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, for I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. See, when you see God, you see yourself. Let there be light. And when you see yourself in the light of God, you see yourself in a way you never saw yourself before. He's calling damnation on himself. He's saying, I'm damned. That's the meaning of woe is me. I am damned. I'm condemned. I deserve to go to hell. What's the matter with that man? Nothing. He saw it. He finally saw the light. And in the light of God, he saw himself. Let there be light. Now, one thing that he didn't do, and I'm so glad he didn't do, I'm sure he felt like it. He didn't run out of the light. He stayed in the light. His knees are knocking. And he's falling apart there. But he stayed in the light. And that's a good thing he did, because he found out something about God and his light. And that is that the same light that exposes all sin and evil, if you'll remain in it, it will purge you of all sin. The trick is to stay in the light. You don't want to lie. I'm not giving you rocket science tonight, am I? You don't want to lie, and you don't want to live a lie. The worst thing you could do is live a lie. It's darkness. You can't be close to God if you stay in the darkness. People say, I got to get out of that church. It makes me feel uncomfortable. No, embrace the discomfort. It's not the people judging you. It's the light of God. Stay right there. And you don't want to lie to anybody that you love. You can't have love with lies. Every lie is an axe blow at love until it finally chops down the tree. That's what I used to tell my children when they were little. Look, how could we love each other if we lie? You don't love me if you lie to me. I don't love you if I lie to you. Let's quit lying. Let's quit loving each other. Isn't it better just to be true, no matter how uncomfortable. Let there be light. Well, that's how everything was made. Let there be light, he said. Lux fiat. And God saw the light that it was good. Now, this is another thing that is repeated over and over again. God sees everything that he created and says, it's good. Everything God made is good. All of creation is good. Creation is good. And by the way, even since the fall, is it not true? Creation is so stunningly beautiful. It almost takes your breath away. I've had spiritual experiences just looking at the stars. First time I saw the ocean, my knees started shaking. I'd never seen such beauty and power. Everything that God made is good. Now, this is important, too, because there's fake spirituality that says something like this. God is spiritual, so only spiritual is good. Physical is not good. And this expresses itself in several different ways. Some people express it this way in false religion. If physical is not good, then the way to be closer to God is to hurt yourself, is to deny yourself. There's literally a guy in the early church named Simon Stylitus. He sat on a pillar for 37 years to get holy. People had to bring food to him. I wonder how they got holy if they had to serve him. He sat up there on a pillar. This is because this fake idea of what spirituality is. The Roman Catholic Church will not let priests get married because they say any sexual pleasure is not good. It's physical. There's nothing physical that's good. It's the spirit that's good. This is a lie. In Genesis 1, he repeats over and over again in the creation of the physical world, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. God judged it and pronounced it good. The physical world is so good that he's going to recreate it, even though we defiled it. In fact, one of the greatest scriptures in Revelation says this. See, you can't do Genesis without Revelation. He says, behold, I make everything new. Hallelujah. Now, he says, he divided, verse 4, God saw the light, it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This is why I believe creation occurred in 6 days, and the seventh day was a day of rest. Not 6 million-year periods, or not 6 eons, or not 6 whatever. He specifies evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. And God said, verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. The word firmament is a Hebrew word that means a vault. Okay. The sky. And he divides waters. Originally, it was waters above, waters below. The earth had a canopy of water around it. Okay. It didn't rain. There was water under the ground that misted it up and watered everything perfectly. And then people were shielded from ultraviolet rays of the sun by a canopy of water above. It's fantastic. That's why you have people living 900 years. I have no problem with that whatsoever. People lived 900 years because people lived in a very greenhouse condition, literally a greenhouse. There was waters below watering everything, so there's abundant vegetation, and there was no direct exposure to ultraviolet rays, so people aged a lot slower. But they did all have to die because of sin. And that's why after the flood, you immediately have a shortening of life. No more canopy. No more waters above. Now you're directly exposed. Also, that's why after the flood you have seasons. 4 seasons. Because that's gone. See, everything up there determines weather. Now, but there's a spiritual truth here too. People in the Bible are called waters. The Gentile peoples are called waters. He says, The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods lift up their mighty voice. Or he says in another place, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear, the waves, the wind dashing. Okay. The peoples of the world are waters. They're like the sea. The Gentiles are the sea. There is no rest, saith my God, for the wicked. They are like the smashing of the waves. Jude calls them waves bringing up their foam. Okay, now right from the beginning, before there was even a fall or sin, God showed us something. Some waters go up and some waters down below. He's going to separate the waters. I think he's telling us something there. That there would be a fall and people are going to have a chance to be saved and go up, or they're going to be lost and stay down. The waters above and the waters below. And God called the firmament heaven. Now here's the thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the Bible, there's three heavens. See, heaven is space. The earth is matter. And the beginning is time. Let me talk about heaven. It's Shemayim, which is a plural word in the Hebrew, the heavens. As a matter of fact, there are three heavens. There's the heaven that is the space that we live in right now, the atmosphere. That's heaven. Okay. The Bible talks about the birds of the heaven. Okay. So the birds occupy this atmosphere here. And then it talks about the rain from heaven. Well, that's this atmosphere. Now, outer space, as we know it, that's heaven. Those are the heavens. That's the second heaven. Okay. That is the second heaven. It says in the book of Isaiah, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun will be darkened in his going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. You get this vast vault of space where he put the planets. Now, Dave Hunt used to sit here and talk about how big the constellations are, how big the universe is, how vast the stars are. He says, we think we accomplished something by putting a man on the moon. Well, that's amazing. That's quite an accomplishment. But compared to space in heaven, getting a man on the moon is like getting an ant to the top of a dandelion saying, I conquered the yard! People going to go to Mars? People going to go, are you kidding me? It's huge. And these telescopes keep revealing it's way bigger than we can fathom. There really are more stars in the sand of the sea. And yet, the Bible doesn't say that God has a number for every one of them. He says he calls each one of them by name. It's staggering, right? And then there's the final heaven, which is the place where God has his throne. Heaven. I know what Dave Nathan was trying to say when he said, Jesus didn't die so we could go to heaven. He's trying to say there's more to it than that. But as a matter of fact, Jesus did die so we could go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven. I don't want to mess around. I want to go there and be with Jesus. There is a place called heaven that's above us. God made the heavens and the earth. And then a couple other things I want to point out before I close. And that is this, okay? Everything he does is in preparation for his ultimate creation. He makes a place for us. This really gets brought out in chapter 2. But chapter 1 shows you. If you think about it, okay, what do we need? Well, I need space. I need ground. I need water. I need food. Everything is just perfectly set up before we're brought in. Okay. Oh, by the way, he didn't make the sun and the moon until later in the week. But there was light from the beginning. Sun and the moon aren't the only light. Okay. But he's making some place so hospitable for us. And by the way, even science acknowledges that. If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. It's so precise, it makes a Swiss watch look crude, okay? If we were any further from the sun, we'd freeze. If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Everything is precision for maximum for humanity, okay? Because, and here's another sad thing about our day. We, humanity is the crown of God's creation. Okay. You had an episode that's very telling. A little boy snuck into a zoo and got into the cage of the silverback ape. Remember that? And someone shot the ape. And if you listen to people around the world, like, why'd they shoot that ape? Why didn't those parents get arrested? Why is that boy doing it? That ape died. They're mourning like as though they'd be happier if the boy died than the ape. This is real. They're confused. Look, I'd shoot every ape in the world to save one human being. Why? Well, he told us right here in Genesis 1. What makes man special? What makes man unique? Let us make man in our own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them in the image of God. A man is more important than any number of animals. The idea that this modern generation is confused about it. See, here's the thing about Genesis. It's your foundation. If that gets eroded, which, by the way, many, many false prophets been serving in evangelical Bible colleges. You know what I mean by evangelical. People that believe you need to be born again. People that believe the Bible, or they used to. People that believe that you must be saved. People like us. A bunch of them came out, wrote this book. Why I Now Believe in Evolution and Not Creation. Okay. And they're acting like they're free now of this embarrassing belief that they just look so bad at the academy for believing in creation. And now they get the sophistication they want. Look, you take away Genesis. Let's just take Adam. Oh, man, we don't have to believe in an Adam. Well, you know, it's funny, Jesus believed in Adam. You mean you know more than Jesus? Here's the problem with not believing in Adam. Paul puts Adam and Christ on a level of influence that's identical when he says, if one man could do one act of disobedience and the whole world could fall. You ever think about that? Someone says, where did I go wrong? Was it seventh grade? I shouldn't have watched that dirty movie. You out of your mind? You couldn't go back far enough to find out where you went wrong. Where'd you go wrong? In the garden. You were there. You just don't realize it. You were in a very protective pouch. But you were there. And when the one man did the one act of disobedience against God, we all fell. And Paul says, don't be discouraged. Actually, that's good news. If one man could do one act of disobedience against God and we could all fall, then praise God, one man can come back and do one act of absolute obedience to God. How obedient? Obedient to death. And save everyone in the world that believes in Him. In fact, He says, He can make us righteous. He makes us righteous. Well, what happens when you don't want to look bad around your intellectual friends and you're ashamed of those embarrassing parts of the Bible? So you just throw Adam out the window. Well, you don't realize it, but you just threw Jesus Christ out the window. You just threw salvation out the window. People are defecting from God, and one of the major reasons why is because they're defecting from Genesis. Satan has attacked this book like no other book in the Bible. This is the book. I wish our new converts were here, but I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad you're here. look, this is really, really, really big. He says that, let us make man in our image. The mystery of God will be more revealed, but the first things that he tells us about himself. Well, in the first place, the word that he calls himself, in the beginning, God. In Genesis chapter 1 is the word Elohim, which is it's a more remote term for God, as a matter of fact. It emphasizes his holiness, his separation, this being that's above us. It emphasizes his might, his majesty, his power, and his glory, okay? In the beginning, Elohim. It's a plural word, Elohim. And yet in Genesis 2, which we'll get into the next time, he uses the word the Lord God, and the word Lord is the personal name for God. Yahweh. Yahweh. The Lord God. So, let us make man in our image. God's being is a great mystery. And it is the great mystery. It's the only mystery worth pondering, really. In fact, I'll say another thing before I close. It's the highest thing that you could ever set your mind on, and just the setting of your mind upon it elevates you and makes you holy. That's what worship really is all about. Worship really is all about that. God doesn't need worship. God has worship. God has himself. If God wiped out everything he created, he still's got himself. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You need worship, and I need worship, so that we can, in this filthy, run-down world that's trying to pull us back into death and decay, we can just fix our mind on this high and holy being, the creator of heaven and earth, and the all-sufficient, all-powerful, and as we'll see in Genesis 2, the all-good and personal God. And bless and worship him who lives forever. And if it was forgetting him, denying him, and suppressing the creator that got you into trouble, and that's what Genesis says, then it's turning around and going back to him. And worshiping him. And blessing and adoring him. That will elevate you again. And make you holy again. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word. All of it is so beautiful. All of it is so awesome. All of it is so powerful. So elevating. Elevate us above the lust and the hate and the envy and the low, base motives that so often try to pull us down. Lift us up past all that, Lord, and fill us with thy Holy Spirit. And restore your creation, which you died and shed your blood to redeem. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
God bless you.